With few exceptions, travel and road books have long been the domain of men. Mary Morris's new book is one of those exceptions. Her book, Nothing to Declare, chronicles her solo journey through Mexico and Central America. Morris describes the people she befriended along the way, as well as what she ultimately learned about herself from being a single woman far from home. She writes, "As a woman alone, I have never been raped or wounded or kidnapped or tortured, but I have been left and betrayed, bewildered and afraid." I asked her what prompted her trip.
I think that I was tired of some things in New York. I'd been living here a long time, and I felt I wanted a really different experience than anything that I'd had before. I'd lived in Europe and traveled in Europe, and I basically wanted a third world experience.
There's another reason that you also offer for why you like to travel, and you say that sometimes you think change will come in the form of a new circumstance or a new man.
Mm-hmm. Well, maybe less the man. I think that probably less now. But I think that travel does provide certain kinds of opportunities for change on many levels, I think, inner and outer and way we see the world. I think Latin America changed me in ways that I didn't expect it to change me. That was sort of the surprise of the trip for me, actually. Well, it was more than a trip. It was a living experience. But the surprise was I think I went for a new experience, and instead what I found was a different kind of people and a different way of seeing the world.
And how did that change you?
I think I changed my priorities. I think that when you live in a place like Latin America and you see sort of life and death situations every day, you think differently about what's important, you know, in your life. And I think that a lot of times in New York or in America, we don't quite face the world in quite the same way. I mean, for example, I think relationships with people became more important to me after that.
Is there a kind of travel writing that you especially like? Have you read a lot of books about being on the road?
You know, I'll answer this really frankly. A lot of the ones that I've read tend to denigrate the people that they're traveling among, and I have a lot of problems, and I will say particularly male writers, I think, who tend to sort of look down on the people they are traveling among, and I do have a lot of problems with that. And also, I think that there's a lack of the personal in travel writing that I've tried to put into this book, and you know, certainly you have different kinds of encounters when you're traveling. People touch you in different ways. You may have a love affair. You may make a connection with somebody that you wouldn't have made in other ways. And I think that's really lacking from, to me, that's what travel is about. It's about the human connections that I make as I'm journeying. And I found that missing from travel writing.
You know, I always think that you need a strong sense of identity in order to spend a lot of time on the road.
Mm-hmm.
In order to do it, not feel lost or not feel like a voyeur of other people's lives. Do you find that to be true, that you really have to know who you are if you're spending months on the road?
I think that's really true. But I also think it's true that at those moments when you don't know who you are and when you feel very lost, you just have to go with it, you know. And I don't think I knew who I was when I was setting out, but I also think you shouldn't be afraid if you have a moment where you suddenly feel lost and you don't know.
Do you still find, though, that as a woman traveling alone, you're treated differently than you would be, A, if you were traveling with a man, or B, if you were a man?
I think it matters a little bit where you are. I mean, I traveled through the Soviet Union and China a couple years ago alone, and it was a very different kind of experience than in Latin America. I never felt, for example, threatened with a situation of rape or assault or something like that when I was in communist countries. So that was very different. Latin America, it's different. You're dealing with a macho culture. The Middle East is still different. So I think a lot of it depends on where you go.
Did you feel in Latin America that when you were walking alone without any company, that you were always being sized up, evaluated, that someone was always ready to come on to you in some way?
You know, actually, I didn't feel that. I think that's a little bit of a misperception of the Latin male. I mean, I think you can feel that way walking down Fifth Avenue, quite frankly. I mean,
well, that's absolutely right.
Right. So I think it's not necessarily just Latin America. I think it's just about anywhere.
Did you figure out certain tricks of making yourself look unavailable when you were traveling alone so that people wouldn't hassle you?
I sometimes wore a wedding ring when I traveled, and that helped in certain places. I did that in the Middle East, actually. I wore a wedding ring. And I think sometimes just looking as if you can carry your own baggage, inner and outer. You know, if you look like you can carry yourself along, people are less prone to bother you than if you look vulnerable and helpless. You know, and I mean whether you can carry your suitcase or whether you seem lost or frazzled. I think looking like you know where you're going really makes a difference. And people are more prone to respect you, I think, if you have that, you know, presence.
You've learned how to travel light.
Mm-hmm.
What were some of the things you used to take with you when you traveled that you realized weren't really necessary and you learned to leave behind?
Well, Are we talking about clothing? Or are we talking about internal things? I think we're talking about
the
outside.
Let's start with objects.
There was a time. I mean, this is going to sound really crazy, where I took a little typewriter with me because, I mean, I like to write.
You're a writer. That doesn't
I'm
sound
a
crazy
writer.
To me.
Yeah, but dragging a typewriter through certain parts of the world is pretty ridiculous. And what I really learned to do was get a certain kind of journal that I liked and that I liked to carry and take some nice pens, and I worked by hand.
Now, what about emotional baggage that you learned to leave behind?
Mm-hmm. Well, there's one memory that's real strong for me, which was I went to France when I was a junior in college, and my mother stood on the dock in New York and waved goodbye to me, and she kissed me goodbye, and she said, "You take yourself with you." And that really stuck in my mind, the thought that you can't run away from who or what you are, and the difficulties that you have at home or with friends or whatever, they're going to go with you on the road. And I think a lot of traveling light is just learning how to get rid of some of the inner difficulties that we carry with us and not expect them to go away when we're on the road, because they're not going to go away then. It might be a time to work out certain things that are difficult in terms of independence and being with other people, learning how to be alone, which is hard for a lot of people.
I think when you're on the road without a specific goal in mind, that frequently you can get homesick,
mm-hmm.
and you have to fight that to kind of keep traveling.
Mm-hmm.
But at some point, you know that it's time to go home. How can you tell the difference?
Mm-hmm. I guess what you feel is that there are some times when you just have to work through or live through a moment that's difficult in a journey. And there are other times when you really feel you've reached your goal. I mean, when I went Trans-Siberia in 1986, I got on the train in Peking, and I went to Moscow, and I spent a few weeks wandering through the Soviet Union, and then I realized I was supposed to fly home from Moscow, and I realized that what I really wanted to do was get back on the train and get to the Berlin Wall. I wanted to go wall to wall, and that was what I did. And I felt it wasn't done in Moscow. I felt I had to get back, and I wanted the train to take me out of the east into the west. So it was just a feeling, and I went with it, you know.
What about your trip to Mexico and Central America? How did you know when that was over?
I think I ran out of money. I'm sorry. I think that's the reality. I think I needed a job, and it was time to come home, and I'd run out of my grant money, and I was offered a job back in New York, and I'd been away over a year and a half, and it just felt like time. And I had felt some changes were made that I was ready to get home and test it back here.
What's a change that you wanted to test when you got back?
Well, this is personal, but I'm just going to say it. I mean, I felt that I'd really learned how to care for people in a different way by being down there, and I really wondered if I could take that back to where I came from and be able to care for my family and my friends and the people I came into contact with in a different way than I had, but maybe a more generous way than I had before. I mean, it's easy to be generous with the Latins because they're so generous, and I wondered if I could bring that home.
I think
to some extent I have. I think it's not always easy. I think there's a lot of struggling, particularly in New York, but I think that my relationships are all deeper for it. I think I've tried to be more generous with people.
Well, you have a daughter now, right?
I do. I have a daughter.
How old is she now?
14 months.
Now, are you going to be traveling with her?
Yeah, actually, I do have an idea of taking off for a year with her when she's a little bit older. She's a great traveler, and I'm hoping we will.
You know, you discussed before the importance of learning how to travel light. It's certainly impossible to do when you're traveling with a baby.
Yes, I'm going to have a... Well, what I'm thinking actually now is a kind of camper or car through America. I think that's probably the way to go. I think that obviously with a child, you just can't. They just need too many things. And also, I'm not going to take any risks with her. She's too important to me, and I just can't imagine... You know, I'm living right now 2 hours from Tijuana, and I love Mexico, and I haven't set foot there since I've been living in California because I'm a little nervous about taking her down at this age. I think in a couple of years we'll go more places. I'm thinking of the South Seas. What do you think?
Well, yeah, sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking, South Pacific or something like that.
Well, I wish you good travels, and I thank
Thanks
you very much for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Mary Morris is the author of Nothing to Declare, Memoirs of a Woman Traveling Alone. You're listening to Fresh Air.